You're listening to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. South Africans were again shaken off their faith in the new democracy and equality amongst all when racism again raised its ugly head 22 years after we celebrated our first democratic elections. First off was a young man from the Western Cape who used vile language, including the K-word, to slam the Minister of Sports, Fakilim Balula's restriction on four sporting codes who did not adhere to transformation in sport. Then the NSPCA suspended a manager who posted an explicit written media post, again using the K-word. We saw a DA member also verbally abused, and the list continues. It all seems to prove that race relations in South Africa have gone backwards in recent years, or is that really the case? We discussed the issue this morning with Gillian Scutter, the founding member of Media for Justice. Gillian, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We had numerous awareness campaigns since the first ugly outburst of racism hit the country in January. It was discussed, debated, and hashtagged from morning till night, only to see it forcing itself onto the front pages of media again last week. Should we have just make peace with the fact that we are an ugly racist society and live with that?
Well, I mean, I think that we should be honest about the fact that we live in an ugly racist society, absolutely. And that, you know, when it came to circle transformation and social cohesion, etc., it hasn't worked. You know, the TRC process never really worked. It did not force white people to face up to, first of all, personal racism and then understand systemic and institutional racism either. So, you know, when you pretend something doesn't exist, it will keep raising its ugly head and erupting as a disease does, you know.
An issue that also raises head is that black people cannot be racist. What are your opinions? Are only white people racist when you look at the root of racism?
Well, the root of racism is power and domination. And racism is, in fact, a white construct. Racism was, you know, devised in the 1700s, when people went out to conquer the world, and suddenly, you know, became white people are elevated and godly, and people of brown and black skin are demonized and ungodly, and therefore can be put to work, you know, to support a white supremacist system. So, in that framework, black people cannot be racist. Racism is a system of power, and black people do not have the power to racially oppress white people. It works the opposite way. So that's not to say that black people can't be highly prejudicial and all sorts of other things that go with disapproving of something. But the word racism is a power system. So that's where that saying black people can't be racist stems from.
Interesting. You know, looking at the historic information that regarding where it all comes from. Shalina, you made a statement that the status quo will remain as long as the whiteness continue to blot the political landscape in South Africa. Can you perhaps elaborate on that?
Sure. Whiteness is a system, the construct of the race construct. So whiteness, you know, when you talk about whiteness, you're not talking about individual white people. You're talking about an actual system of power. That is the construct of power. And it's a construct that privileges white people and actively deprivileges people of color, black people. The other, you know, others, other people. So, for instance, you'll see it very much in the whole Islamophobia propaganda that infiltrates the world. That's some the whiteness discourse is the dominant discourse internationally because of the global domination and the economic domination globally. And so, all these other sort of demonized narratives are created about other people that are not white, and so that's basically what whiteness actually refers to, the actual systemics of racism.
Yes, interesting that you cannot look at things, you know, on the surface, but you need to get to the core of what is behind behavioral tendencies. Can you say all white people are racist and include that in that, including that group are our freeborn children born in South Africa that freed itself from the shackles of apartheid?
Yes, well, I have made that statement before, and so as a white person, I have to even include myself in that. And the reason I'm saying that, it's not personal racism. It's not that all white people hate black people or treat black people in a certain way. It's the fact that we are born into the system of whiteness. Until that system itself is dismantled, until that system is not dominating and creating imperialism, whether it's cultural imperialism, economic imperialism, we are born into that system, and so therefore we're born into a system that will privilege us, no matter how radical our views are. And so in that respect, yes, systemically all white people are racist. And unless we actually really are working against the system that deprivileges other people, unless we're actually making those kind of noises, how can we not be racist? And it's all, there's a critical mass of white people actually doing that and actually saying, yes, we are privileged, and we now refuse to be privileged over and above other people. We only want equality. Then how can we be anything but racist? And that's really where I come from when I make that statement. Where is the critical mass of white people fighting to hand over their privileges?
Yes. So what would it mean that you refuse to be privileged and handing over your privileges?
Well, from my perspective, it would mean, working towards a more socialist egalitarian system. Not for me, the system of capitalism is a system that is predicated, that is based on the subjugation of, first of all, people of color and of women. I also argue that within that system there is really no getting rid of racial prejudices, of class cleavages. Where class exists, race exists, sexism exists. I advocate for a socialist egalitarian state which actually makes all people equal. And that's, economic freedom as well as cultural imperialism. There will be no cultural imperialism. So handing over privileges, people have this terrible vision of what that means, everybody needs to be poor, everybody needs to live in shacks, etc. No, it's about bringing poor people into the actual economy. It's about giving everybody the chance to live with dignity. And not only a small number of people whose absolute privilege, obscene privilege, deserve the majority of people's right to live with dignity in South Africa. And when you have 63% of people living below the breadline, how do we turn a blind eye to that and call ourselves human? We are all working towards being more human and thus having much more compassion for everybody, not just a small group of people who dominate on every single aspect in society.
Yes, we all can take steps in that regard. Up until this point, we've been talking about what we would say white and black, white and non-white. Whilst in South Africa, our demographics are far more complex than just dividing across that line. What is the situation with regards to the coloureds and the Indians? Are they not part of the racist discussion, and where do they fit into this scenario?
Sure. Well, as a white person, I deconstruct the construct I was born into. But of course, if you're a human being who actually is looking at societal trends, of course that whole apartheid structure of, race going from white, Indian, colored, and black people right at the bottom, that still exists because there has been no real transformation in this country. And so there's a lot of still colonized thinking in more conservative parts of Indian and colored societies who do not want to be black as such, so therefore would endorse the white supremacist system over being black and black equal rights. So it is a problem. That also erupts from social media. It's not spoken about. It's almost like the elephant in the room, that there is still this hierarchy, and that black, what are called in that particular hierarchy, black Africans are still at the very bottom of that social ladder, and that there is definitely prejudice. Again, one can't really say racism, but there's definitely prejudicial feelings in the minority groups, as in colored and Indian, towards black people. Obviously not across the board. Obviously it's the same as the white community. There are small pockets of people that don't feel that way and that are radically fighting for equality. But I think it is something that needs to be discussed. But as a white commentator, as I say, I commentate on the impact of white supremacy, and that discussion is a discussion that Indian and Tamil people would have to have themselves, you know, and bring those issues up themselves rather than it coming from somebody who's not part of the community.
Yes. Is the answer to criminalize racism to the extent that fear will keep people from uttering racist terms, or will that drive the sense or the issue underground?
It will drive it underground, just as the TLC kind of Rainbow Nation thing, you know, it allowed people to... Whiteness, because it's about privilege and people don't give up privilege willingly, people shift the narrative according to what's required of them. So, you know, for a while you didn't really have these sort of racial outbursts because people were being more polite about their racism, because now it was no longer acceptable to use all this very harsh sort of racist language. So to criminalize it will do exactly the same thing. It will push it underground. It's not going to change the systemic issues. Racism is not about personal people. It's about them upholding systemic issues through their racist discourse. It has to be uprooted through absolute, monitoring. It has to be monitored. I think things like fining companies that are not actually going along with real authentic transformation. But honestly, it's the people who are oppressed by racism that will make the changes in the country, because it's clear that the middle classes and the upper classes are not really shifting on that point. And if there is some sort of shifting, it's all around people like Penny Sparrow. Penny Sparrow is a drop in the ocean. She's one individual who made racist comments. She's a symptom of much, much deeper issues in terms of racism. And so until those issues are dealt with, and until the government takes racism seriously and starts to really protecting people that are victims of racism rather than people that are perpetrators of racism, nothing is going to change. And you know, that could have serious consequences for the country.
Is it time for a national debate, a type of a TRC for racism?
Those sort of moves have started. I mean, there's been all sorts of, after the Penny Sparrow thing, there were, there were all these debates and caucusing and et cetera. And I was invited to a few of those, and what really struck me was how the word whiteness was not mentioned once. So if you're going to talk about, and the room was full of black people, if black people are going to be the people who are meant to sort out white people's racism, and not call white people to order in terms of what whiteness is, and, you know, how systemically whiteness holds the power, and whiteness itself has to shift, what is the point of having these national debates, that are going to circumvent the real issue of systemic racism, and talk about social cohesion, Rainbow Nation? That is all surface cosmetic stuff, and it's proved itself over 22 years that that does not deal with the core issue of racism.
Yes, so there are serious things, a change in mindset that needs to take place. We appreciate your thoughts and the interesting angle that you bring to the discussion. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Gillian.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
That was Gillian Scutter, a founding member of Media for Justice, a social justice and media activist. And the point that she's making, the interesting angle that she brings to the fore, is with regards to looking at racism and its origins, and also the fact that, you know, you cannot look at it in isolation, the privilege, and she talks about giving up your privileges. And in an interesting article, she said a couple of weeks ago, I wrote an article in which I stated that all whites are racist, which drew many white liberals who consider themselves to be anti-racist or even non-racist. And they all responded to that, and many cited examples of diverse social circle adopted black children having black lovers or spouses as proof of the non-racial practice. But my framework, none of these personal examples matter, while we as whites willingly belong to and benefit from a global occupying system that privileges whiteness at the expense of other races. 30 minutes past 8 on Sabahul Muslim.